Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
About them is that they were not far from prophecy. They were not far from the word of the Lord. But somewhere in that equation, some people felt the word of God did not apply to them. So when you see a scripture like pray without ceasing, the response that brother will give is, but I'm not planning to become a pastor. It's pastors that are supposed to pray without ceasing. They are the ones who will carry the problem of everybody. No. Please, point of correction. The pastor is not meant to bear everybody's problem. That was what Jesus did on the cross. And if you want to be the El Shaddai, then you shall die. So I am not the El Shaddai. So God wants all of us to be trained to the degree that if you are dealing with a particular challenge, you should be able to carry out at least first aid on yourself. Or if possible, take care of that problem. Just imagine you find yourself in a country and there's no church there and you are the only one trying to administer the word of God or counsel of God. Or let's assume that you find yourself in a situation where someone in your family is under attack in the middle of the night. So what are you going to do? Everybody's going to call the name of Jesus, but some will call that name as a response of fear, while others will do it because they know that whenever they put out that name, the heavens respond. Are we together? So it's very important to know the difference, that sometimes the shouting side is not always the winning side. That shouting side is always the winning side is only in the stadium. Those who are winning will shout. Then those who are losing will be quiet. The shouting side is not always the winning side. You may be shouting in ignorance. You may be shouting as a result of what we call head effect. You know what I mean by head effect? You are in a group of people and they are all doing something. So you join them. Not because you are like that, but because that is what everybody is shouting. You join them and shout. Even though they will ask you, sir, are you supporting our club? You know, you're not supporting Man U. So what are you doing here? This is our side. And they will start to boo you. So even if you did not plan to leave that seat, you may find yourself, for the sake of your own peace, going to the other side of the pitch. Because that's where people who are not, those who are losing, that's where they are sitting. So it's very important. So you find that most times a lot of sincere people make very costly mistakes. And there are some areas in your life where you can make mistakes that may take years to reverse. For instance, how you choose to use your body. How you choose to use your body can create a problem that prayer may not be able to reverse immediately. And please, I want you to note this. When I say use how you use your body, I'm talking about the kind of food you put inside your body. Some people are not even putting food in their body. They are starving themselves to death. All right? Some have died trying to keep fit. And the person who gave them that advice is still running a gym somewhere. For whatever it is worth, you have to realize that many of the people giving you advice on Instagram, all these health coaches, and they are not doctors. They are just trying to trend and get their money from Instagram. So they will look at what somebody posted and they will also make their own video. A particular celebrity, maybe late last year, put out a post making some claims about why you should not. Okay, I think he was talking about not eating that. You know, for some of us who take smoothie, we blend our banana. And then we'll take it that way. The guy came out and said, anytime you do that, it multiplies. It just gave one, you know, that instead of the energy level to be at this level, it multiplies, it becomes too much in your body. So it's better for you to chew the banana instead of blending it. And the guy had thousands and thousands of likes. Then somebody called him out and asked him to provide evidence that this statement was true. The man did not respond. Then I think he went to do some research. He realized that he was wrong. So he came back. He said he also saw it on one person's... Now, you would think that because someone is white-skinned and has blonde hair, that there's a correlation between smartness and skin color. The man was foolish. He actually looked smart. The way many Christians look smart, even though they are not practicing God's word. It is pressure that now reveals your conviction. It's pressure. I once spoke to a man. The man said he stopped going to church because his wife, the pastor took his wife away. I said, I don't understand. He said, they said they were part of the first persons to start a church, a Nigerian church in the UK, the biggest Nigerian church in the UK. Can you imagine that? Do you know what that? Do you know that church? It's not far from here. He said when they started that church, they were among the founding members. He said then the wife became very committed. Started going to church every time until his marriage broke. So when we were trying to secure a space for church in one of our locations, he said, I will never assist any church. Well, we are in that location now, anyway. That same place he refused to approve, we are there. But I was going to tell him that the reason why your marriage failed was not because your wife was going to church. It's because you are stupid. Even from the way you are talking, I can smell stupidity from you. Because one thing stupid people do is to blame others for why they failed. That's how children think. So there are areas in which God wants us to be like a child, but not in every area. The scripture says that if we want to be great, that we should be like a little child. But it was being specific to mean that to be like a little child means to trust your parents, to be able to depend on them. All right? The scripture also says, in malice be children, which means there's a tendency for our older people to keep malice and hold on to the grudge. But if you notice and observe children, they can get over it easily. But as they get older, it will become a problem because they now realize that the world is not the way they were thinking it was. So the man is still there. I see him. He's still posting philosophy on his WhatsApp status. So I wished him well. If you study this book of Genesis chapter 1 carefully, one of the things you will notice is that the Lord was trying to recreate the world. And he did this specifically by speaking words. I am here to tell you this morning, because this short message is titled Recreating Your World, that you can follow the model that the Almighty God gave us in Genesis chapter 1. And please, I'm not talking about the name it, claim it theology. There's a theology being spread around by Americans. Name it, claim it. You know what that name it, claim it is? You can come to this building now and touch the wall and say, this building is my own. But you don't have any money. There's a popular person, I won't mention his name. You know, we as pastors, there are many rascalious behaviors or attitude we display, and we say it online. And if I right now, I'm concerned about myself, and I think I need to start praying for myself. Because when I see those who have gone ahead of me making certain statements, then the question is it because I am not as old as they are, that there's a certain level of foolishness that comes with making it in life? That when you make it, the Bible says the rich man speaks roughly. You say what you like and people will hail you because you have money. One of the things you need to remember is that despite the chaos that was in the earth, the Lord recreated the world by speaking words. The moment he said, "Let there be light," he was able to observe, see through, understand the depth of the crisis, which signifies that anytime I am going through a challenge, the first thing I need to get is illumination. No matter who you are, even if you are an archangel, without illumination from the Holy Spirit, your thermometer will be giving you wrong figures. Illumination, this aspect of illumination, this aspect of illumination is what makes one Christian different from another. Reading the same Bible, but being able to use the Word of God differently. So, if Genesis chapter 1 was something a believer was supposed to practice, what happened in Genesis chapter 1 is what we refer to today as prophetic declaration. Are we together? Prophetic. Aha. But you notice that God didn't say one word until light came. You need illumination. And the word light there signifies knowledge. It signifies unveiling the darkness. So you may be praying against certain things in your life or in your family. Meanwhile, what you are observing may be the fruit, not the root. It takes illumination from the Holy Spirit to see that this health condition is a 300-year-old problem. Hallelujah. So you find that in verse 4, Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, when God created the light in verse 3, the scripture says that God saw the light and that it was good. And God did what? He separated the light from what? From what? He separated the light from the darkness. Because you see, darkness is also a type of knowledge. You see, that knowledge called darkness is not completely evil. You see, when the serpent came and said to Eve, that God did failed to tell you that the day you eat of this fruit, what? You shall become wise. Was that not what he promised them? Said they will become what? Wise. Knowing good and evil. Before that day, what did Adam and Eve know? Only good. The serpent came and introduced another knowledge. So even when you want to castigate the knowledge of good and evil, you will find that there are some things about it that are actually okay. You get what I'm saying? There are some things about it that are actually good for man. Except that the element of evil in that knowledge becomes a threat to even the good aspect of that knowledge. Look at what man has done today. People go about thinking that, oh, if God is good, why do bad things happen? Don't you hear those questions? Those questions are asked by people who are not thinking straight. So give me an example of someone that, you know, something bad happened to. They say, oh, if God was good, this child that is a sickler should not have died. Okay, let's go back to your own understanding, knowledge of good and evil. What were we taught in science? That two fellows sharing that type of genotype should not get married. So is that God? I have people that live around me, though they are very wonderful Christians, and thank God for some men. Thank God for some very good women who are Christians at home. My friend in my estate, the wife is of that type of genotype, not even SS, something else. And one day, you know, because her parents are also Christians, they were having a conversation. This was before she got married, and they had to admit her at the hospital. And the parents came and were telling her, sorry, it will be well. And then she challenged her parents. Why are you telling me sorry? Where did you people meet yourself? She asked her, I said, you people knew what you were. Why did you marry? Are you thinking? Because someone always wants to man blame God. You knew what you were. You said you are using faith. Now you are telling me sorry. But I'm the one with drips all over my body. So don't come. If you cannot sit down quietly, just go. Thank God for a wonderful husband that she has. The husband has been a very solid, so she's fine. But you know, even now that she's in her 40s, that thing still crosses her mind. However, Genesis 1 establishes one fact, that no matter what situation or condition you find yourself, you can recreate your world. There are people I have seen that I've prayed with that were completely transformed from that type of genotype to AA. There are some of them, the genotype did not change. If you check, you still see SS, but they stopped falling sick after prayer. There's one of them that I prayed for. She stopped falling sick, and the Lord told me, say, tell this person to avoid stress. That if he can avoid stress, nobody will even know that he has that genotype SS in his body. And that's what he has been following. Meanwhile, for some people, completely transformed. Now, I want to ask you a question. If the scripture says, I believe it should be in maybe Proverbs 15, it says death and life is what? It's in the power, Proverbs 18, 21, very quickly. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love the tongue shall eat the fruit thereof. So, what is the tongue's primary way of expressing itself? Through words. Are we together? Through words. Now, why is it that some people say, oh, but I prayed and nothing happened? Sir, we don't know how long it took God. When he said, let there be light, what you saw in that verse was a summary. When the Bible says the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, we did not know how long. I am saying this because there are many of us who feel that God is always late, and we are not aware that God is mindful of us. We do not really think, that we are so special that God hates the idea that is floating in our head that he is not listening. It's not that he's not listening, but we have the idea that there are some people God listens to. There's a lady way back. This I'm talking about. Uh, maybe year 2000. How many years is that? 2000, 24 years, 25 years. A wonderful lady, serving God, at least to my own understanding. That's what I thought. And we became quite close, you know, and we had a lot of friends who are also Christians, mutual friends. Until one day she came to my house and she was crying. And I said, what's the problem? She said she heard a loud voice in her room. That what? Said the voice which she perceived to be the voice of God warned her and said, stay away from this one. I must not see you near him again. It's a special pay. We have a plan for him. Don't go and distract. Don't spoil our agenda. Don't take him backwards. Huh? So that if you continue on this path, you'll be destroyed. Look at me looking for sin up and down. God went to the other person. He didn't even caution me. He went to caution the other person that don't go there again. I wanted to say, are you imagining it is me? Maybe you don't know where me, my own mind has traveled far on this matter. Me that I'm looking for the right opportunity. She said, she heard the voice that this will be the last time that she will visit me at home. Hey! Crying very profusely. Ah, I say, child. I say, this God. You're always turning up to spoil my. I say, you've never, because we've been talking, she's never said, oh, I heard God this morning. But this one, she said the voice was in her room, like a speaker. I looked up. I said, why are you not talking to me like that? You go and fight the people that I love and pursue them. You, I'm here. If I want to hear, you have to be very quiet. I have to be very quiet so that my son obey my... If you are not quiet, you won't hear anything. Meanwhile, you went to somebody, you carried megaphone. Today she's married to a pastor. Another pastor. But not me. You understand? Not me. But for whatever reason, you know, God is always right. God always sees the future. And God knows that was a bad idea. A very bad idea. So he didn't talk to me. He went to the other person and said, you stay away. Since that time, I just heard that in my left hand. That any time one problem is, somebody is becoming a problem, I'll just say, there was one person that came the other time. From the information I'm gathering, you will be afflicted. You will be paralyzed. Something can happen to you. So stay away. That thing I just hold on. It's a weapon. Hallelujah. Listen to me. As funny as that story sounds, you know, as she was saying it was my deliverance. As funny as that thing is, this is 24 years ago, 25 years ago, that thing she was saying, that can God be so mindful of somebody who is hell-bent on being lost? I had decided to be lost, then the brethren will come and look for me. Everything, all your life, holy, 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 I don't know. This one, we have a mutual father, let him come and settle the matter. God did not wait for while you are being crooked. Christ died for the ungodly. He went ahead of you, removed someone from the equation. Your words are powerful. Just, I want you to see, and I explained this thing last Sunday. I'm assuming at this stage that we have passed the stage of illumination. And for those of you that are still praying, is it the will of God or not? Simple test. You don't need to talk to me. Take that. If truly you are sincere, you want to know God's mind, don't talk to pastor. Call me if I like his beard. I will tell you to marry. If I woke up that day feeling very happy, anything you bring, I will sign. Take that name to God and say, God, you know I love you, and I love you more than every other person. Look at this name. The reason why you are considering this person is because somehow in your mind, you already like the person. So no issues. Liking is not a sin. Baba, this is the name. If this is not you, you are the one that worketh in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Remove every trace of affection that is in me. Let it vanish in a moment. If this is not you, Lord, so that my relationship with you will be preserved, take it out. You know those kind of prayers, and why I like God, those kind of prayers, he likes to answer fast. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked, like, ah, is this how God answers prayer? You wake up the next day and like, what was I even thinking? Eh? God, we you know the way they use syringe to extract pus out of a boy. You will not know how. You will see the boy like, it just looks terrible to you. That's Jesus in action. That's where we specialize. You like someone, you're now asking pastor. Then if I tell you don't do it, you'll now become angry. Let us ask the one who knows all things. You will be the one to ask him. Somebody came to me, say, pastor, this, he was so hell-bent on my face. I said, okay, let's pray a prayer. Take this prayer. Pray for 3 days. Don't let see 3 days. Oh. If not, things will scatter. 3 days. Take this one. The marriage didn't hold again. God will not do so much work in you and leave you at the mercy of your emotions. Imagine where God has been coming with you. He will not leave you at the mercy of your emotion. He will be brutal. He has investment here. He will be brutal. So even if you are married, I want you to know you cannot keep your wife. And you cannot keep your husband. After you finish deceiving yourself and exchanging rings, take your husband's name. Go and drop it on the altar and say, Baba, this is the man I married. Though. Take care of him. Bye-bye. You to take your wife's name. Lord, whatever will keep in your hands doesn't get broken. This is my wife. Let me take care of her. And walk away. The day your wife chooses to be unreasonable, go to God and say, please go and talk to your daughter. She's annoying me. Go and talk to her. The day your husband is doing the same thing, take it. You are not the head of that family. You have a senior partner there. So go to him and say, come and get involved in what is going on. Every time that God kept speaking in Genesis chapter 1, we saw that something was being created. Do you know that it was on the fourth day that he now created the earth? Huh? People are not even here anymore. I said on the fourth day. So he had a specific plan. Please put up verse 4. I believe I'm right. Is it verse 4? I think so. Look for that verse. I mean, 40 day. The evening and the morning was the fourth day. Or where he created his... Huh? Please, don't let me go to my Bible. Just let me pick it out. The fourth day creation. It should be somewhere between the first 7 verses. Or is it 19? Okay. What was created on this day? No. I'm talking about what was the fourth day. I want to see what was created on the fourth day. I'm looking for where he separated the waters and created dry land. Huh? Verse 9. Go to verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place. Please, I want you to be graphical enough. Be graphic enough. That means this water we see at the ocean rose and filled every atmospheric space till it got to the heavens. Now imagine the depth of water we are talking about here. And God created a place and we housed everything. He apportioned a space. You know, he did it with his words. Something that was near impossible. He just said, let there be. Put up that scripture. He said, let the waters under them be gathered. The moment he said it, let it be gathered. They heard. They started moving. God didn't touch it. He spoke. Great was the company that he spoke. Great was the company that followed the word. The moment he said, let the waters, they responded. And when it responded, dry land appeared. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth. So before now, the earth had no name. It had no name. For the use of nomenclature, there was no name. This was where God gave it a name. He said the earth, he called the dry land earth. The dry land earth. And the gathering together of the water called he sees. What you now call the seas today. But he sees. Alright? And God saw that it was good. God performed every work of creation through words. And because we are created in his own image, we are given the same level of power to initiate a change process in our lives when we speak anointed words. Some people may go on 21 days fasting and prayer, and they may tell God what they want, they pray through, then they come out and they see their friend, and in one day, will reverse everything they have said. Now, you need to take a stock of the people that put you in that space where you begin to speak negatively. There are some people, that are just the environment. If you know, your friendship is always built around negative things. Once you see them, you start talking about Nigeria. Once you see them, you start talking about that your friend that did her wedding and she didn't invite anybody. You just notice that there are some people around you. Your conversation with them is always built around problems. Once you identify those people, let them be gathered into one space. You just put them in a separate group. You know, at any time this person sends a message, it is when you are ready that you will respond. The power of creation, the scripture says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That means that your tongue is a tree of life. The scripture says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A healthy tongue is a tree of life. A healthy tongue is a tree of life. How do we measure healthiness? How do we determine if a tongue is healthy? Through the quality of conversation and the speech that that tongue brings forth. And I hope you also understand that whatever you are saying is a direct reflection of your heart. And that's why, let me tell you something. For we that are pastors and we have to preach like hours on end, the Bible says, wherever there is much speaking, sin is not wanting. Which means you also need to pray for your pastor and ask for mercy for them. Because sometimes in the process of preaching, you can exaggerate. You can exaggerate a testimony. You can exaggerate a scripture. You can overemphasize something that is not that deep. If talking is your business, you won't be far from lies. Okay, if you live in certain areas in the world, like Lagos, your natural tendency is to be a liar. Huh? Because when your client calls you, where are you? You say, I'm on the road. But you are here. I am on the road means I will come. Not that I am coming. Not that I have started coming. I will come. That's what it means. So if you want to live in Lagos, you must understand what people mean and not what they say. That if someone says, where are you? You say, I'm Motimbo. That Motimbo means what? That I'm ready on my way. Eh? Or I will soon set out. Just know that the person is still at home trying to have lunch. So the best option for you is to ask, where exactly are you? Eh? The moment the person begins to say, let me look out for this next bus stop. He said, this one is a liar. You see, and you see, especially those of us that have, businesses, it seems that you can't do well in your business if you speak the truth. There just has to be this element of lies. Sir, your job is almost done. Wow. That was what you said last week. But you know, you've told so many lies, you even forgot that. That was what you said last week. Some of the people in the body of Christ that I know that I refer to as spiritual terrorists are prayer warriors. It's the way they look at you. That look is telling you your level spiritually is low. When you finish talking, they all look at you, I pity you. They don't know the God I serve. Say, me, I serve a living God. No be lie. I serve a living God. If I call on him now, if I read Job 33, just two times for you, the way I'm looking at you, you will not survive. They just become terrorists. Because they feel that those who are in the ocean are not spiritual. Meanwhile, they cannot stand for 2 hours. They'll say they are praying, they'll take chairs, sit down for 1 hour. Then when they say that someone is coming, they'll raise their voice as if that's how they've been praying since. Deceivers. I've stayed with some very powerful prayer people who say they pray at night. They snore half of the time. One brother in my school got angry. He said, he will not pray at night again. So what is this? That because he had been hearing testimonies of people who pray at night. He said, let me also develop myself. All he remembered was when he got up, he went on his knees in the middle of the night. Father, I thank you, you are the mighty God. He woke up 6 a.m. That was the only thing he remembered saying. Father, I thank you, you are the mighty God. He 6 a.m. met him on his knees. And some of you don't know that type of sleep, how sweet it is. The sleep that comes in the place of prayer. Your body will be so heavy, so intense. So why is it that, and most of you that are here, some of you are listening online, you will agree with me that you've taken your time out to pray and make some confessions about certain things in the past. But you did not see the kind of result you are looking for. What is the scripture saying? I already read that scripture to you. It says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, which means the allocation of power that comes to your tongue is directly proportionate to the state of your spiritual health. Because your tongue is a reflection of your spiritual health. Your tongue is a reflection of your spiritual health. Not just when you are with brethren, but the things you say about them when they are not there. If you find yourself in a situation where you look at your sister and you speak very nicely with her, you guys are in the same department, maybe in church or so, and you speak very nicely to each other, by the time you get home, you are telling your husband, if not for Christ and church and this thing. She was my five years junior in school, though. That small thing. See? The sister is now that small thing. Can you imagine? See the way she was just talking to, as if she gathered all of us here. She just joined the team. Oh. This is the way we used to do it when I was in Anglican church. Is this Anglican church? I am telling you that before you go and start binding demons, check the state of your health. Do you know that in research, in those days during the war, if a soldier has been wounded, one of the ways they know how much time the soldier will have, maybe whether he can survive the attack, the bullet wound, or the sickness, is through the tongue. The doctors are able to, if they look at your tongue, they can tell if you are going to die very soon. Medical doctors. Sometimes, I don't know whether they still do it now. Way back, when the doctor is checking you out, he will tell you to bring out your tongue. Is that not so? It's not because he wants to see if you are brushing your teeth or brushing your tongue. He wants to see if, from a glance, this thing is much deeper than what you are even telling him. You just came to the doctor and you said, oh, I have feverish conditions, I feel uncomfortable. Okay, he checks your heartbeat, he checks your temperature. The next thing he tells you, bring out your tongue. Sometimes he looks into your eyes and he does something like this for just 1 second. In my mind, why? You keep touching, what? He just looks at it. There's something, there's an information there. You can't see it, but there's an information there. You see, but that your tongue will tell him exactly how soon you are going to die. And they are always right, especially on that tongue issue, they are always right. So you need to measure your spiritual health. Your spiritual health can be the state of your spiritual health can be very much reflected in your tongue. Huh? When I say your tongue, what are the type of conversations you have? You need to segment them and look at which ones seem to be in a higher proportion. Okay? When I talk about your tongue, I'm not just talking about what you say, but what your heart is saying. Huh? There are people who should be rich, but somewhere in their mind, they cannot see it because they don't even know where it's going to come from. So even though we make the confession, oh, I'm who Christ says I am, I'm going to be wealthy, their mind denied that confession. So we are talking about how to speak forth powerful words here. God could have come down to the earth, seen the mess that had been that had taken place, and he would have just told himself, this market is destroyed. Let's go to another, let's use another planet, let's create another, and he will abandon this one. It won't cost him a thing. In fact, he will probably use fewer resources. Alright? But for some reason, God doesn't start anything without a clear intention. For whatever reason, he chose the earth. You know, until doctors came and told us that there are organisms that we can't see with our very eyes, unless you use some type of equipment. Since that day, I started to even believe, even on planet Venus and some of these other planets that were discovered, maybe there are some kind of creatures there, maybe we just can't see them. Your words can be more powerful than they are right now. If you maintain a healthy tongue, which a healthy tongue is a product of a healthy heart or spirit. You know, because scripture says death and life is in the power, which means that if you give yourself to God, give your tongue to God, give your heart to God, the death element will be removed. Paul was teaching us, he said, let your words be always what? Seasoned with grace. I believe we all use seasonings in our food. Huh? Yeah. I hope you know that for those of us that grew up at this time, not when our grandparents were alive, this period, no matter, there are some foods, there are some stews or food or soup that will never be as perfect as they should be if you don't add seasoning. You may add salt, but you need to add other things. Eh? Are we together? Uh-huh. For instance, I don't know, and this is just my own playbook. For the life of me, I don't understand why someone... Now, I used to do it too. In those days, I saw somebody sprinkle Maggi in the beans, he was making beans and he used Maggi. Now, have you seen that before? The idea is to make it perfect. So I tried it once. How many of you know that even if you were to cook poison yourself, it will be sweet to you? The food may be the what's that kind of rice? The concoction rice may be salty. Well, okay. Just a little salt. You keep eating. If your friend comes in and says, what's this? No, I'm not hungry again. But if it were to be someone else who did it, you won't eat it. Your poison is your own poison, so it's sweet to you. Do you know that there was a day I now saw someone sprinkling Maggi in a pot of beans? Then my understanding returned. What is this? I forgot that it was something I used to do. I just panicked. Like, what's this? I said, no. Anything more than salt, I don't want. Say, no, it's sweet. You will see. Me? I will not wait to see. I'm out of here. Look, let me tell you. When the doctor now came and told me, for those of you that are listening online, and they said your blood pressure is going high, the doctor told me, he said, it is not the salt you eat at home that raises your blood pressure. He said, it is the one you eat outside. I said, define outside. He said, cafeterias, bucaterias, local joints, the inkobi joint, all those things they do there that you didn't notice. You just ate the food. But now, hello, say now, it has now even been established that it is not salt that raises your blood pressure. It is sugar. Okay. You see, you can lay claim. You know, the Bible says, let your words be seasoned with salt, not sugar. Are you still here? He said, let your words be seasoned with salt. That salt is grace, not sugar. Even God knows that the sugar is not good for you. So, listen to me. You can recreate your world. You can change whatever it is you do not like. You can begin to live in your prophecy. If there's something that has been taken away from you, you need to ask yourself, was this thing taken out of my life because of careless speaking? Do you know that one of the keys to living long in the Bible is to watch how you speak? It's there in the scriptures. The Bible says, let him who loves life and desires to see long day keep his tongue from speaking evil and guile. You see, this issue of the tongue, there are so many benefits to it. See, let me tell you, somebody offended me recently, and I was so pained about it, and I wanted to take the matter up. So one day I was in my room, the Lord just ministered to me, said, don't pass any comment. The usual me, I will address it, and I will address it in a very descriptive way that you, the one listening to that thing, you will not forget. Because I will use something to describe your actions to show how foolish you are. And I will describe it so well. When you get home, it is the description I made that you'll be remembering, not what I said. That maybe I said the way you behaved, it's like one goat we used to have that my dad had, always jumping the fence. Black goat like that with brown hair somewhere, brown strand. That no matter what we did, the goat will never listen. We had to kill it. So say, through your mouth shall be delivered, and through your mouth shall be ensnared. This my mouth, I've used it to deliver myself many times, especially when I could not fight the person. I just tried to use something, and we do it in Oyo town, in Ibadan. We just use something and describe you, and go and check that thing. The thing will look like you. I tell you a story about how I went to the park very early, around 6 a.m. to take a bus from Ibadan. And the driver started fighting with his conductor. I didn't see anything. I was really one in the vehicle, just waiting for it to be filled. And he just said, look at his head, the way he looks like a very old egot or something. I don't know who said that. And I turned to see the conductor. Exactly, the guy looked like a egot. It's as if for that next 2 minutes, you will look like that. Hey! I said, they've been saying this about a lot of people. Exactly. Don't get into their trouble. Now, let me tell you, the first requirement here is that you must have illumination. For you to be able to speak creative words, you must have illumination. That illumination there means concerning this matter. What is the Holy Spirit highlighting? Highlighting. And if you are praying, let me give you a key to making this work. If you are praying about a matter, Okay. Go right or go left. So you don't know what God is going to say or where God is standing on. So stay neutral. And stay neutral, trusting that the Lord is always faithful to meet your needs from this point of neutrality. So you are not keen on going right or going left. The moment you have a bias that this is what I really want to do, I just want to confirm, anything you hear will be biased. So train yourself to maintain neutrality when seeking God on something that you know you actually want. Come to Him being in the middle. Father, whatever you say is fine by me. And the moment God knows that you mean it because He has tested it 1, 2, 3, 4 times and you, exactly what He said was what you did, it becomes easier for you. Then it brings illumination. So what happens is that, please, there's a trap that you must avoid. There's called the trap of blankness. Some people, when they are praying to God, they become very, they blank out. How do you describe blanking out? They blank out. It's like try to push yourself into an unconscious state. Huh? Do you know that right now, if you can trigger yourself to go into a subconscious state, you start seeing visions. Huh? Okay, let's just leave that. There are so many things happening. In fact, this one I've seen it several times. I'll be in a particular house. Sometimes in my own house. Sometimes I'm in a particular office. And then I just shut my eyes. And I see the same office recreated. But I noticed that the paint here was not white. It was not off-white. It was green here. And I noticed that building probably is in a more perfect state. Not subject to the law of wear and tear. All right? Sometimes you see the building looking very, you know, attractive physically. By the time you look, it just happens spontaneously sometimes. I really can't explain. You just see the same building, but it's looking like a collapsed building, you know, or a collapsed marriage, or a collapsed life. You just see it like that. All right? So you need illumination. And for illumination to come, you must have neutrality. As long as you are already invested in what you think you want God to do, God will allow you to do what you want to do. What I'm teaching you here is I'm empowering you to train yourself in the giftings of the Spirit and to trust the gift. So the first thing here is illumination. The second thing is assessment. To be able to speak powerful and creative words, you must have the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Number two is that you should be able to assess what you are seeing. The realm of interpretation is, and we're probably going to talk about this at the prophetic school, is one of the realms that is very scarce among believers today, and yet it is the most important. So you need illumination. You need assessment. The third thing I want to ask here is what I've already mentioned. You need a wholesome heart. A wholesome heart is what gives you a wholesome tongue. That what is my definition of a wholesome heart? A heart that is yielded to God. I'm not saying that heart is perfect. I say the heart that is yielded to God. Which means, let me tell you a heart that is yielded to God. Let me give you a description, because sometimes we say these things, but we really don't help people by explaining what it means. Let me explain this. Let's say you go into the shopping mall. You want to pick a few items. And while you are done, you realize there was a queue. Huh? You are like 10. You are like the 10th person on the queue. So while you are there, you begin to meditate on the scripture. Or you begin to, the Spirit of God will just put a song in your heart. It may be a song, you know, that you've sang for, you've not remembered that song in a while. Just begin to sing, above all else, give me yourself. And you are just in that, you may not even be singing, you are just flowing with that tune. But you see, because the song was inspired by the Holy Spirit, it begins to do something to you. Time loses its effect. Before you know it, you are at the top. You are next in line to be attended to. So, to be dependent on the Holy Spirit means that you are consciously allowing your mind to bend towards him. You are not giving your mind so much of the opportunity or some leeway, too much leeway, to do what it wants. So, and I notice that anytime I'm able to do this, not that I'm preparing to preach, I just make sure that like in a day, 2 days, 3 days, I just try to bend my mind to deliberately focus on the Lord or focus on a particular scripture. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures to get forever. I just meditate on it. I just meditate on it, you know. Or I just think about a scripture. The Lord is merciful unto those who serve him. You know, we have some of these powerful scriptures in Psalms. Sometimes just go online and ask Google or whatever, give me all the scriptures on God's mercy from the book of Psalm. And just take a few of them and begin to meditate on them. You just notice that you are texturing your mind to be in a spiritual state. Your spirit does not need to be in a spiritual state. It's already there. But because your mind is the channel through which communication will flow, your mind is not by default in a spiritual state. You have to set your affection like a radio. The way you change the channel, 93.7, you change it to 99.3. So the only way to do that is to set, change the channel, change the frequency. And how do you do that? You can do that by praying deliberately at times when Satan naturally or nobody will really expect you to pray, by meditating on scripture or by singing unto the Lord. So your heart becomes tuned and is at rest in the Lord. So you have an awesome heart. When you get to this point and the will of God is now clear to you, you can now lay hands on your son that is sick and you can now say, you will not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. You shall not die. You know, recently, about 2 days ago, I was just meditating like this. I know some of these things I'm sharing with you, they are my very personal secret. So there are things I stumbled on and I started using them and they worked. So I'm not telling you something that is not working for me. You know, one of my family members in the UK was diagnosed with lupus. Now, how many of you are familiar with lupus? Huh? Can you give us a 1 minute description of what that disease is like? Okay. Please go to chat GPT if you have the app. Type, just say, tell me about lupus. A medical condition called lupus. Somebody who has chat GPT, quickly. I want to read out what is on that. But one of the things you will know about lupus is that it gives you a very strong immune system. Then when your immune system becomes very strong, you will not be falling sick. Huh? But when that immunity gets to a level, it will start eating up your own cells. Please, do you have it? Anybody who has it on his phone? Oh yeah, let me.
Where the immune system mistakenly attacks healthy tissues and organs, causing inflammation and damage. Is that the most common form of?
Please, come this way.
He said lupus is an autoimmune disease where the immune system mistakenly attacks healthy tissues and organs, causing inflammation and damage. He said the most common form is systemic lupus, that's SLE, which can affect various body systems, including the skin, joints, kidneys, and brains. Symptoms varies and may include joint pain, fever, rashes, such as the distinctive butterfly-shaped rash on the face, and fatigue. Lupus is common in women and certain ethnic groups. While there is no cure, treatment like NSAID and immunosuppressants can manage symptoms and improve the quality of life.
Thank you. Did you hear that it has no cure? Did you hear it? Did you hear when she read it has no cure? Huh? Aha. So that was the condition this young lady... Lovely, I think she's a graduate now, if I'm not mistaken. But she was a law student, or as a dent, I think she was studying law, and she was diagnosed with lupus. And this happened post-COVID. Everybody at home got infected, she didn't get infected, because her immune system had become very strong. So you can come to church and say, I'm walking in the divine head. You won't know that it's lupus. Say, and you preach and say, everybody got it. I didn't get it. Hallelujah. Jesus. I found a deep rem. Hey, you have lupus. Only for you to get back to school after lockdown and your internal system was being attacked by itself. That thing can affect the kidney. And you see, this is a very dangerous because there's no known cure. And it happened to a girl that was a teenager. Now, what offense did she commit at that level? If you say it is witchcraft, are you telling me also in the UK? This is just an innocent girl, right? And the girl now said, the girl got to a point, she said to her parents, she can't stand the doctors piercing her again because they pierced her. She got tired. She said, look, she's tired. If they can't treat her, anytime she's done, let her die. The parents were worried. Even if they say there's no cure, you still, as a parent, you keep going round and round. And then I spoke to my wife. And my wife said, told them, scheduled a meeting. She didn't even tell me. I said, I've not been praying for 1 year. These people, well, it's just like the Mary, the mother of Jesus, telling the people, don't worry, he will give you wine. If Jesus knew where wine was, will he be in that party? Was he also not there to eat and enjoy himself? Say, don't worry, don't mind the mother, that's how he behaves. Anything he tells you, do it. Sir, is it possible that Jesus had been performing small miracles in the house when it was just two of them? Which was why how she knew that he could do it. That no mind it. The other day we didn't have food at home. He just covered the pot, opened it, food appeared. The woman knew when they said he refused, say, go back, hold him. Don't let him go, hold him. Anything he tells you, if he says jump, you will get that one. So when they came back, okay, you know, go. There's, now your mama say you go. Say, okay, go and feed the pot with water. I say, hey, sure, I told you. If you are the one, you opened it, you now saw wine. Will you be able to drink it? I was the one who fetched the water from the well, and I put it there. Now you came and said, the thing tastes like, I don't know if you drink this one. let's let those who have faith be drinking. The cure, the disease had no cure. But you see, my wife spoke to the parents, and then they recommended that maybe I should get involved. When I sat with the lady, it was on Zoom. The dad was in another city. She was in another city with her mom. My wife and I were here. And I started showing us through scriptures how that she doesn't have lupus. Why did I go that route? Because that's what the Lord told me to do. Say, don't pray yet. Show her that the doctor's report is wrong. Over Zoom meeting. I am telling you that the word of God in your mouth is powerful. It can move through the airwaves, thousands of miles, and cause changes. I'm not making up this story. See, after I spoke to her, I preached for like 1 hour. Because how that thing works, especially where I've had a few cases like that, is once I teach to a level, I will now sense that the unction to pray was available. And that's what most people don't understand. Just go, pastor, pray. If you know how the anointing works, it's not like that though. When the unction comes, the carrier will know. The one carrying it will know. We've been in meetings where we are praying and they wanted to say, fine prayer. I said, no, not you. The unction is on him. Let him do the prayer. But he was the one leading the prayers from the beginning. When it was time to now close the final prayer, the senior pastor said, no, the unction is not on you. It's not on me. It's on him. And the moment he prayed, everybody saw the difference. So I prayed with her over the Zoom meeting and we ended the meeting. Thank you, sir. I was at the hospital like 2 weeks later, and the father of the girl called. And I was like, when people call, I say, I hope it's not that they want to tell me that it's bad news. I did not pick. I'm just a messenger. I don't. It's not every time you call that. Sometimes the people you are calling know you are calling. They were calling. So he kept calling. What's that will happen? I just picked it. He just said, man of God. Okay, this is a happy tone. And I relaxed. I heard you went to the hospital. I said, yeah, just around a few times. It's okay. Everyone, I said, I'm fine. He just said, hey. He has forgotten that there's a testimony. Because the guy recovered immediately. But they didn't remember me again. He just said, hey. Man of God, thank you. Since that time, her cells have stopped attacking itself. She's back in school. I said, wow. I said, I thought you said it was incorrect. He said, Jesus has done it. They attend white garment churches, these people, over there. But see the way Jesus did it. How? Following instruction. What is another way for the Holy Spirit to over the face of the deep? It is by releasing timely words. Speaking God's word over the darkness. If the devil shows you an evil report, you have hormonal imbalance, you have this, you have that, you can change it. Get a lot of scriptures. I'm telling you that the reason why many of us are not getting this thing is because we are not doing it well, or we are not doing it enough, long enough. Are you here? Don't rush into prayer and start scabashing. No, hold on. We need light to superintend over the darkness. So take your time, get a lot of scriptures that speaks about your health, for instance. Arrange them. Then bring in some worship, powerful music that will calm your heart. Let the music become like a transport system that carries you into the presence of God and gives you assurance. His report says I am free. His report says I am healed. Not all this bobo-tibo that we are doing now. You get the kind of songs that you can hear what they are saying and it ministers faith. Not that we want to be like the world. When Jesus told us to bring the world, convert them, we want to be like them. At the end of the day, we can't even tell who is who again. They say there's no power. So get your music, your sound, get your scriptures, and you begin to speak them. Father, I thank you. And that's how to pray scriptures. Father, I thank you. Let me give you two scriptures. Let's round up with this one. Hallelujah. So, I have on my notepad here, I have 150 Psalms that I can make reference to anytime. So, I have Psalm chapter 4 verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone makes me to dwell in safety. Psalm chapter 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23 verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. Psalm 91 verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I have Psalm 29:11. For the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. In Psalm chapter 18, verse 28, your light, you light my lamp. The Lord brightens my darkness. Psalm chapter 3, verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000 who set themselves against me. In Psalm chapter 42 and verse 8, even at night, your song will be with me. In Psalm 121 verse 3, he who keeps me will not slumber. In Psalm 121 verse 5, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade. The Lord is my shade on your right hand. In Psalm 121 verse 7, the Lord will keep you, or will keep me from all evil. He will preserve my life. So I have all of these scriptures, and then I turn them to prayer points. So when I'm standing in my prayer closet, or maybe when I want to pray, I just have all these scriptures, and then I have something like this. So the first thing I do is I mention the scripture. Are you with me? I mentioned the scripture. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of trouble. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus because I rest in your truth that you are my refuge and my strength. When the troubles of life overwhelm me and anxiety creeps into my heart, I turn to you, for you are my constant help. Tonight, as I lay down to sleep, cover me by your presence in your peace. Let your strength uphold me and let your presence comfort me. Remind me that I am never alone and that you are always near with me. I have 150 of this type of prayers just for me. When you do that and you do it prophetically and with faith, by the time you hit 70, you'll be so charged, you just put that one aside and you speak into the darkness. Pow! And it will break. The perfect antidote for darkness is the voice of God. The devil fears the word of God coming from living lips, not dead lips. Whatever is going on in your life today, you can change it. Come on, shout amen. Amen. You can change it. You can transform it. You may be down here today. You can talk your way to the top. I say you can talk your way to the top. And that's going to happen to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Go home. And research, Google is your friend. The internet is your friend. Research specific. Just go online and look for 100 scriptures that have bordered on your healing or that have bordered on your finance or whatever. It doesn't have to be Psalm. It can be across the Bible. Look for the Psalms or whatever the scriptures and frame it into prayers. If you can't pray like this and sleep, it means the devil must be really against you. When you have your prayer in front of you, you have your prayer in front of you like this, everything well arranged. Well arranged. It must take... I have everything here, just 150. It's not too much. I want you to go home and begin to practice the things you have heard. Do it long enough until your register in heaven is full of your utterances. Don't keep a book in heaven that is empty. Let your voice be known. Let your watch hours be complete. Let them look at you. Of late, she has been talking to us. If the Lord has laid a demand upon you to serve him or to do something specific for him, don't just rush out. This is our advantage. This is the thing. This is what all those people you look at and you wish you were them. This is what they are doing. But they won't tell you because they know you can't do it. And you can't handle it. I challenge you. Go and do it. And see if there's no change in your life. You are only stranded when you stop talking. Are you with me? You are only stranded when you stop talking. You can change your life. You can change your job. You can change whatever you don't like. If you stop talking to people and start talking to God. That energy you use to explain your condition, take it to the place of prayer. For God is faithful to grant us all our requests. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, he said, you can speak to this mountain. Oh my God. The seed is very small, but the mountain is very great. But Jesus said, if I have faith like this seed, I can speak to a problem as big as this mountain. He said, and the mountain shall be lifted and cast into the sea, and I will have what I say. Are you there? Jesus said, I will have what I say. What you say is powerful. I will have what I say. Not necessarily what I pray. What I say. So some of you pray, but what do you continue to say after the prayer? Are you with me? Go home and change your life. Go home and change your situation. Stop making negative confessions. Start saying the things that Jesus and the word of God already declares concerning you. Don't forget that God has his own system of economy that takes care of his children, whether it's their health, their finance, their marriage, whatever aspect of life you want to look at. Jesus has already made a provision. The word of God has already made a provision. Don't live without a fight. This is what spiritual warfare is all about. Don't live without a fight. Let's do this year and see our life moves from point zero to point 100. Whether you're a child, or you're a young person, you can practice it. You can practice it. The word of God will become alive. And you will see how things begin to change. You won't have to answer too many questions because now there's a glow around your personality. If you are battling with depression, go and look for scriptures. Line them up and begin to speak. Begin to speak. Begin to speak. The more you feel that raging power and fire of depression, continue to speak. Continue to speak. When you look around you and there's nothing at home to eat and you feel discouraged, bring out your scripture. Is my sufficiency. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For he will always lead me to the path of green pasture, which means my provision is from him, not from my salary. You begin to declare, Initially, when you start, you are reading quietly. At some point, you have some energy, you get up, you start pacing the room, and start speaking the words of faith with so much energy. By the time you are done and you go to bed, Satan knows that there's nothing he can. This one knows he's right. The woman went to the prophet, but she had more sense than the prophet. The prophet had a first-hand connection with the prophet, and yet he was owing money and he died. As close as the prophet was, he owed money and he died. But the wife came. One visit, change. What do you have in your house? Was that oil not in the house when the man died? So sometimes the people you think are smart don't have it. It may just be the woman in the kitchen who has enough sense to say, we have a small bottle of oil. And the prophet said, that's enough. That means that no matter how broke and on the ground that and flat that you may be, there will always be something that is in your life that God can use. There's something. So don't. If that thing is your tongue, then don't be quiet. I say if that thing is your tongue, then don't be quiet. In the name of Jesus, you are going to experience the Lord. You are going to have an encounter. Your life is going to change for the better. Your life will be a beautiful story that is being told. In the name of Jesus, I speak into your life. As God began to do a work of recreation and he made the earth into a beautiful sight and planet, I declare that from today, a work of recreation will begin to take place in your life, in your family. God will begin to separate the waters from the waters. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will begin to cause order to come into your life, such that your beauty will become apparent to all. The Lord will breathe upon you as he breathed upon Adam, and he became a living soul. And the Lord will breathe upon you, and you will come alive again. Everything that pertains to you will come alive again. Everything that pertains to you will come alive again. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will no longer be alone. Because now as you begin to speak and prophesy, everything that needs to be around you will begin to come around. Everything that needs to be around will begin to come around. You are going to get access to more finance in the name of Jesus. You are going to encounter God's presence like you have never done before. You will begin to live in perfect peace in the name of Jesus. And tonight we rebuke the devourer of sickness and infirmity and lack in the name of Jesus. The Lord is against you in the name of Jesus. Therefore, receive strength in your body, receive strength in your mind in the name of Jesus, receive strength in your body. Oh, receive mental strength, receive physical strength, receive sound health in the name of Jesus. I speak life into your body, the Zoe of God, to begin to flow in you, creating a new history in your life, in your health, in the name of Jesus. A child of God can never be stranded. Therefore, I speak into your life that you will not be stranded in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you are the mighty God, and we give you praise because none of these words will fall to the ground without performance. The scripture says, blessed she that believeth, for there shall be a performance. Lord, we believe tonight, and we thank you because there is testimony in the lives of everyone here and those listening online. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you.